Thank you, worship team. Excellent job. I appreciate so much this team who's able to help us lift our hearts to the Lord and glorify Him and worship Him. I thank you so very much. Today we're talking about, we're still talking about unshakable faith. And there are 12 planks to this unshakable faith, and we're on plank number 11. We're almost finished with this series, maybe. because we're talking about today God's guidance. And so that's number 11, but so today is part one. I'm not sure how many parts there's going to be. But we're going to be talking about God's guidance. So, I was trying to get to Aurora the other day. And I talked to Siri. About how do I get to Aurora, to a particular school in Aurora, so I could watch my grandson play baseball. Well, Siri told me to go a direction I'd never been before. Have you ever argued with Siri?
Yes.
You know, normally when I go to Aurora, I go down through I-205, 217. Well, this lady wanted to take me through McMinnville. And I didn't know how to get there through McMinnville. I didn't know, even know there was a road that went to Aurora through McMinnville. So I stopped the car. I went to another app because I didn't trust Siri, right? And so I got on this other app, and it told me to go through McMinnville, too. I said, well, they must be right. So finally, we wound up in time to watch my grandson play baseball. I like looking at maps to see where I am and where I'm going. There used to be, for some of you younger guys, there used to be maps on paper that you could unfold and get direction. No, it did not. I like maps. This is a map that God gives His children for guidance. Everybody needs direction. It's always fascinated me how years ago, before there was GPS, that ship's masters in the middle of the ocean could look through a sextant and know where they were and which direction they were going. I went fishing on a charter boat one time, and out here in the ocean, a fog bank came in, and the pilot says, which direction is north? There was about six or seven of us on the boat, and everybody pointed in a different direction. It was hard, but he had GPS. He knew his direction. This is our GPS. It's always amazed me, too, that homing pigeons can be released thousands of miles away, and barring any unforeseen problems, like somebody shooting them, they will find their way home. That amazes me that they can do that. So I know you're going to think I'm dumb. That's okay. Most people think that anyway. But when I was growing up in Mississippi, I didn't realize that salmon would go up the stream and go to their birthplace and lay their eggs. I didn't realize that till I moved here in the Northwest. And that just blew me away. I said, man, how in the world can they do that? That amazes me. Somehow they've got this guiding system built within them that helps them know where to go. Humans, however, lose our way pretty quickly. We as Christians, myself included, can make missteps and wander off of God's path occasionally. When we do that, we lose our joy, we lose our peace, and we can also lose our purpose. The good news is that God has given us His Word, His servants, and His Spirit to help guide us so that we don't get off track. So we're living in an era when many Christians are confused about what truth is. At first glance, the newest, most popular ideas seem to be really good. But as you look deeper through the lens of Scripture, you will find that the views that are being promoted by our society are contrary to what God's Word says. So there's a few areas that we need to look closer at. Now, the message I'm preaching this morning, you may think, well, this is a political message. It's not a political message. It's a message about what truth is and what lies are. Okay? So there is something called social justice. And you need to understand that there's a difference between God's justice and social justice. I listened to a message by this fellow named Bodie Bauckham. I want to encourage you to listen to his message on God's justice versus social justice. You can go to YouTube. He's fantastic. I wish I could dissect and express the things that he expresses. So I'm going to just encourage you to listen to him. It takes, about an hour. He's speaking to a convention, and so he's really, really good at being able to verbalize these things a whole lot better than I am, and so I'm going to just encourage you to listen to him. There's a difference also between equality and equity. You need to understand that. There's a difference between equality and equity. They're totally different from one another. I saw a post this week that the mayor said that Portland will not open up and there is total equity in the Portland area. That may sound good to you, but you need to study that out, because that is not a good way to go. Learning to hate the LGBTQ agenda while at the same time loving those who have been ensnared by the devil to act out this way. You know what? We have a responsibility to love people. That's our responsibility. And I don't care what they do or what they've done or who they are or what they've changed into. Our responsibility is to love them. We have to. How are they going to come into the kingdom if we don't love them? Even if you disagree with them, and I do, but my first and foremost responsibility is to love them, not to ostracize them. The toxicity of the critical race theory, as well as the group pushing it, is actually racism in reverse. You need to be aware of that. It's the brainchild of a socialist dictator. You need to be aware of that. Women's rights versus the rights of the unborn. You know, all of these things sound good. They've got a beautiful label, a beautiful clothing that is put around them, but if it goes against Scripture, then we need to be careful that we do not embrace what the world is embracing. And if we don't, here's what I've discovered, and you've discovered it too. If we don't embrace what the world embraces, they vilify us, and there's hate against us. Again, this may sound like I'm trying to make a political statement. I'm not doing that. What I'm doing is I'm trying to help you understand that if we aren't careful, the truths of God's word, which we hold to, will eventually erode away in our hearts if we don't know God's word.
That's right. Preach it.
And we have to know God's word. If you want direction, this is the book for direction. So, family, church family, brothers and sisters, you cannot turn your mind off when things are promoted as good when in actuality they are evil. But you must say, what's wrong with these things? What's wrong with these things? You may ask me, what's wrong with these things? I like the direction. Well, listen to 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So listen, when the Antichrist comes, he's going to promote lies, and many, many, many people are going to embrace what he says. Why? It's because they don't have a good hold on and a good handle on God's word. And already people who call themselves Christians are beginning to embrace lies rather than holding on to the truth of God's word. Dr. George Barna, who's a director of research and professor at Arizona Christian University, and also perhaps the most respected statistical researcher known, has said this: over half of American adults consider themselves Christians, but only 6% of that half have a predominantly biblical worldview. Only 6% of 50% hold a biblical worldview, which basically means that they're looking at the world through the lens of Scripture. 6% of those who call themselves Christians view the world through the lens of Scripture. How hard is it going to be for the Antichrist, when he comes, to persuade people to follow him rather than follow God? It's already happening. You were telling me, Tom, the other day that you remember reading a statistic of the biblical worldview back in, tell me again. Make it short, because I've got to repeat it. At that time claimed to be Christians.
Of those 80%, 43-46%, I can't remember which, said that the Holy Spirit was only a symbol of God's presence.
Okay.
And likewise, about the same.
43, we'll say half of them, said that the Holy Spirit was a symbol of God's presence, not really God. Okay, and the same number said that Satan was only symbolic of evil. Do you remember how much the worldview, biblical worldview?
About
30% at that time. Okay. We've dropped since that time to 6%. I wonder what it's going to be in 10 years. So basically what it means is that only 6% retrust the Bible. Only 6% of the Christians who claim to be Christians trust God's word. That's what it says. Gee whiz. This is not America anymore. So let me ask you a question. Do you trust the Bible or do you trust social media? Do you trust the Bible or do you trust news commentators? Who do you trust? Listen, then, this is a very important, I mean, we laugh, but this is a very important question. You need to ask yourself, who do I trust? Who am I trusting in? And I'll tell you that whoever you're trusting in, that's your God. And there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who are not trusting in God. I don't understand how they can be Christians if they're not trusting in God's Word. I don't understand that. So here's a litmus test found in God's Word to test what is right and what is wrong. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18 says this, "Who is wise? Understanding. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So looking at this passage of Scripture, and let's just say you don't know any other Scripture. And you look at this passage of Scripture and looking at what's going on in Portland and other major cities throughout the nation regarding the rioting and the pillaging and the murdering and calling it good, is this wisdom from above or is this demonic? Is this wisdom from God or is it from the devil? From the devil. I mean, if this is the only passage of Scripture you read and you put this litmus test on what's going on around us, then you would be able to determine that pretty quickly. They're not. It's not about peace. It's about hate. Black Lives Matter began last fall. The movement really sounded worthy. But there was something in my spirit that was like, I'm not going to latch on to this until I see where it's going. I'm not going to promote this until I have more understanding. And see, that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives. He gives us checks in our spirit. And not only in my spirit, but Rick approached me, Tom approached me, Michael approached me, I think Larry and Pam approached me, others of you approached me and said, man, there's just something not right about this. They had a check in their spirit as well. What began as a movement, what it appeared to be to discourage racism, actually became a movement of destruction and hate. It's so easy to get off center. It's really easy to get off center. It's so easy to start swallowing poison when you don't know the truth. And that is why it's vital that we have a good handle on God's Word. We need a good connection with the Holy Spirit. Do you want to know why so many people want to get rid of the Bible in our nation? You want to know why the Bible isn't allowed in the public schools anymore? You want to know why it's banned? Now, when I was growing up, the Bible was okay. The Bible was read from in school. The Pledge of Allegiance was spoken. We had someone read over the loudspeaker. We had the Ten Commandments set up. Do you know why it's now banned? Because herein lies truth. That's the reason. Herein lies the foundational truths God has established, and it goes against everything that the world wants our children to know. Parents, listen to me, especially those of here and those are on Zoom, those who are going to be listening to this recording later, listen. The school is not going to teach you or teach your children the Bible. And you may say, well, that's not their purpose. Oh, so their purpose is to teach secular humanism. Their purpose is to indoctrinate your child in the things of the world. Their purpose is to indoctrinate your child and confuse them about whether they're created in the image of God and whether they're born male or female. That's their purpose. So if their purpose isn't to teach truth, then there are only lies that can be taught. Right? The reason for the removal of the Bible reading in schools wasn't because they decided it wasn't the purpose of the teachers to teach Scripture, but rather so that the children wouldn't be taught truth. That's the reason. The truth about creation, the truth about gender, the truth about God's love for them. That's the reason. And families, if you are not embracing the truth of God and not teaching your children God's truth, then you and your children will swallow the poison offered by this culture. I abhor what is being forced down the throats of our children. I know some of you here today are teachers. Rena, Nancy, I think she's in the back. I wanted to stop, and we're going to stop and have prayer for them. You know, as I was thinking of this, it has to, you remember, Hebrews says that Lot, who lived near Sodom, and he said that his soul was tormented daily, tortured daily because of the things that he saw around them. And I know that has to be the same thing for our teachers in school. I know that has to be. Every day, and they're not able to voice the things that they would like to voice for fear of losing their job. And every day they have to go into this society and with the light that is within them, do the best they can with what they have. That's got to be a most difficult position. So, Rena, I'm going to ask if you would come up here. We want to pray for you. Rick, would you stand in for Nancy? Not really. You don't want to? Okay. We'll just pray. That's okay. We will pray for Nancy without her being here. All right. Would you just hold your hands out toward Rena? So, Father, I just want to pray for Rena, and, Lord, I want to pray for Nancy, and, God, other teachers who may be listening in, and, Lord, I just want to lift them up to you. God, my heart goes out to them, but, Lord, you've called them into a very difficult work. Lord, you've gifted them tremendously so. And, Lord, whether they know it or not, they're making an impact on these children. And so, Lord, we just ask that your Spirit would go with them, and, Lord, that your light would so shine among them that they would see their good works and glorify you, which is in heaven. Lord, I pray, O Father, that you would just bless them tremendously, like you blessed the midwives in Egypt who wouldn't deliver the children and wouldn't kill them because your word said differently and because they had a check in their spirit. And so, Father, I pray you'd be with Rena, that she would be able to be Christ to those individuals. Lord, I pray you'd be with Nancy, that she would be able to be Christ to those children. And God, we pray your blessings upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, if there was ever a time when families needed direction, the time is now. there was ever a time when churches needed direction, the time is now. There was ever a time when our nation needed direction, the time is now. If there's ever been a time when your pastor needs direction, the time is now. The Bible is the first source of direction for us. Another source of direction is the Holy Spirit, and we're going to learn more about Him in a couple of weeks, learning to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. We have to, Scripture says, if you remember, if you've ever read Revelation, there are seven churches mentioned, and after each pronouncement of the church, it says, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. We have to know what the Holy Spirit is telling us. There's a verse of Scripture in Hebrews that tells us how to increase our sensitivity to truth. In Hebrews 5:14, it says, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Say trained.
Trained.
Say exercise.
Exercise.
Most people don't like that word. In Hebrews, in the New King James Version, it says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, say reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the only way you learn to discern is to begin to practice it. Begin to exercise what God has put in you. We have to be sensitive to the Word and to the Holy Spirit. And John 16:13 says this, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Who's the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit. And He says the Holy Spirit is going to come. Jesus says this to His disciples. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and He's going to guide you into all truth. So we need to know how to discern what the Holy Spirit is telling us. We need to know the truths from God's Word. We need to listen to godly men and women. We need to develop a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And I want to suggest to you that there have been times that you've heard the Holy Spirit, and perhaps you've just shrugged Him off. So let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced a time when you felt guilt? Time or two? Do you remember the first time that you sinned and experienced the guilt of the Holy Spirit? Yep. I do. I remember I lied to my mama and I lied to my daddy. And boy, something went off in me. I didn't realize what it was, but that was the Holy Spirit convicting me, letting me know that I was moving away from God. I wish I had listened to that, but I just shrugged it off. Like, oh, maybe they won't find out. You know, that, and I found that after a while, the sin didn't bother me as much anymore. I kind of built up an immunity to the Holy Spirit. And I kept going further and further and further and further away from God. Oh, I tried to be a good boy because I didn't want to get in trouble. I tried to do the right things, kind of. Especially when people were looking. But there came a time when I was 22 years old when I felt the Holy Spirit again convicting me. And rather than shrugging him off, I yielded to him. That was the day I met Christ. That day I agreed with the Holy Spirit. That day I confessed my sins, asked his forgiveness for real. I'd probably done it 1,000 times before, but this time it was for real. This time I didn't want to go back. This time I decided I was going to go forward with Jesus today, Jesus Christ. I found freedom. I found purpose. I found hope. I've never been the same since. Today you may be here and you know where you are with your relationship with God. Perhaps you've built up calluses around your heart just like I had. And you do things and really nothing really bothers you anymore regarding sin. You know it's wrong, but somehow it doesn't matter. But the Holy Spirit is reminding you right now. The Holy Spirit is convicting you right now. So are you going to shrug it off? Or are you going to come to Christ? If you shrug him off, who knows when the next time he will visit you again? This may be, it may be 20 years. It may be 40 years. It may be never. I want to encourage you. If you feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, don't shrug him off. Don't make excuses like I did. Don't justify your actions like I did. Yield to him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The Holy Spirit's convicting you. He's giving you another chance. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit is convicting you and calling you to himself, would you just lift your hand? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Father, I pray for these individuals who've raised their hands and ask you, Lord, just to give them the strength right now to say yes to you. Lord, even that sometimes is hard for us in our own power. God, I ask that you would help them to say yes to you. I don't shrug you off anymore. But today will be the day where they draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going back. I'm going forward. I trust Jesus, not myself. So would you pray after me, dear Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you and in your sight. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I am so very sorry. I don't want to go back to my sinful life. I want you, Lord Jesus. I need you, Lord Jesus. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I give you my sin. I give you myself. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.